Free Talk Live, and when we say we're live, if it's 7 p.m. to 10 p.m.,
we are live.
Eastern time.
Right.
You know, there's different time zones that we appear in, all the way from Atlantic to whatever time Guam is in. I don't know.
Yeah. And across the other way, correct? We have some European, African time zones, too, through satellite?
It's satellite. You would have African time zone and satellite. There's no doubt. It could go as far as the Middle East there. I couldn't say for sure. Nonetheless, if it's you're going to have to know what Eastern time zone is, and if it's between 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., we are live. And you can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. That's what we do here on Free Talk Live. And the other thing we do is we talk about, we bring in issues that we want to talk about, and we usually talk about them from a liberty perspective.
Sure.
And that means that in some cases, we make the Republicans very unhappy, and in some cases, we make the Democrats very unhappy. So a liberty perspective says that you should be able to do what you want to do, so long as you don't harm other people. If you do harm other people, you're then responsible for your actions. So that means in the case of carrying a firearm.
Guilty.
Yeah. Well, you carry a firearm. You're not guilty of anything, though. I'm sure you have all the paperwork in line.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And I don't know how long you spent in the military, but it was plenty. You're well trained and I know you've got it. But yeah. So, I mean, if you want to carry a firearm and you haven't harmed anybody with it, then what's the issue?
Right. But a lot of people are trying to make it an issue.
Oh, yes, they are.
You know, they talk about how what a threat guns on our streets are. And statistically, and I should have Googled this story before I said this, but I will Google it and we'll post it in the show notes. But the number of serious crimes committed by people that do conceal carry, licensed concealed carry handgun owners, is lower than the number of crimes committed by police.
Yeah. If you were to take, I mean, you know, everybody wants low gun crime.
Right.
Well, this particular group of people, the people who are licensed and legal and concealed carry permit holders, these folks, well, they're not really doing much. And so to prevent them from having certain types of weapons probably isn't going to stop a crime.
Right.
They're certainly out there. Yeah. They certainly, you know, some of them commit crimes, there's no doubt, but you're not stopping. You mentioned police, and certainly, you know, European countries, people always want to point to European countries.
Right.
If you take this group of people, they're less deadly than many European countries.
Sure.
As far as, you know, statistics go. So anyway, this is from Yahoo News, 6 reasons gun control will not solve mass killings. In the wake of tragic murder of 17 innocent students and teachers at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. I'm sure everybody heard about it. Plus, there's been quite a few things that have happened since. Lots of people are dealing with sort of unresolved grief, and they want to solve the problem.
Right.
And to solve the problem, they're coming up with things like, let's ban AR-15s. That seems to be a favorite.
It's the default choice. The default choice is to get rid of the guns because that's the problem. People are getting killed with guns, so you take away guns. But I have always had a gun, and I know hundreds of people that have had guns, and they're just not homicidal. You have to have two things. It's for a mass shooting. You need to have, one, a homicidal person, and second, you need to have a firearm.
Sure.
And you take away one of those, and you're not going to have a mass shooting.
That much is true, but you could still have a mass killing or
a mass truck attack like they just had in Canada. That was tragic. I can't remember. I think it was 14 dead, 23 wounded.
It is tragic. There's no doubt. I mean, but people are going to find the weapon to do what they want to do.
They will.
Number one, mass killings are rare, and mass public shootings are even rarer. Mass killings account for only about 0.2, not 2, but 0.2. percent of homicides every year, and approximately, this is the United States, and 1% of homicide victims. Only about 12% of mass killings are mass public shootings. Most mass killings are familicides, murders of family members or intimate partners, and felony-related killings such as robberies gone awry or gang-related turf battles. So if you move those things off, because There's nothing I can do about your family trying to, like, your family, if your family wants to kill, if a family member wants to kill everybody, they're probably going to be able to do it anyway.
Right.
With a gun or not. Secondly, I just don't have anything to do with gang-related turf battles.
No, but we can thank the war on drugs for that.
Indeed.
And that's one of those things, you know.
The government.
It's government policy that creates black markets, and black markets have nowhere to turn to resolve disputes. They have no legal system, no court system, no system of moderating anything, so they turn to violence, and that's the only thing they are left with doing to settle things.
So mass shootings, although they have gone up in recent years, are still similar to rates that were in the 90s and the 80s. Number two, many gun control measures are not likely to be helpful. Over 90% of public mass shootings take place in gun-free zones where civilians are already not permitted to carry firearms.
Right. It's surprising to me, Mark, that, you know, a sign won't stop a homicidal maniac who's bent on killing lots of people.
It's amazing.
Maybe we need a bigger sign. Maybe the sign needs to be used more forceful language.
Let me make this go over this one more time. Over 90%, not 90%, more than 90%. If you're statistically in the above 90% category, you can say that something unequivocally either works or doesn't work, right?
Right. It's not so, like it's
unequivocally
48.
Gun-free zones do not work.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, unequivocally gun-free zones do not work. Over 90% of public mass shootings take place in gun-free zones.
And it's interesting, and sadly, those are the places that I feel people are at their most vulnerable. Schools, you know, that's where if you feel that there's a threat, that having an armed security guard or I'll say it, armed teacher, if that person happens to feel comfortable with a firearm and is okay with concealed.
You don't want to shove a gun into every hand of every school marm out there?
Oh, you know? Yes. That's exactly what we want. You want to carry this or not, here's your gun.
This is one of my problems with this debate in this country.
Right.
Look, I don't own a firearm. Right. My problem is big, fat, ugly liars.
Right.
And a big, fat, ugly liar is going to say, hey, let's give teachers the opportunity to carry guns. They're going to say, you're going to force teachers to carry guns? No, that's not what I said. That's a big, fat, ugly lie.
I tell you, I went to a March for Our Lives event here in Keene, New Hampshire. It was probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, something like that, down in Central Square, and I took my sign that said, ask me about my AR-15 on one side, and on the other side it says Pro 2A, let's talk. I wanted to have conversations, and...
How'd it go?
What you just did, that caricature of an insane anti-gunner, was pretty much every conversation I had. I won't say that. I'll say it was about 50% of them. The other 50% would try a very reasonable approach with me to convince me of the error of my ways. And you know me, Mark. I don't yell and scream. I'm a very...
That's me.
Yeah. There has to be one.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing that the guy carrying the gun doesn't yell or scream.
Right. And that's a great example.
You've got the personality type for it.
Right. But there were certain people that were, and some of those people were, you know, expats from Europe and things like that, that just got
completely. They love their chains, boy.
They just got shrill. You know, it was just this shrill screaming. Yelling at me about my AR-57. I can't forget that one.
I've got statistics here. As far as it goes, Europe is not much safer than the United States when it comes to mass shootings.
No.
If somebody really wants to do a mass shooting, there's not much you're going to stop them. Not much you're going to do to be able to stop them. It's a lot easier to control guns on an island than it is on a continent.
Right.
And that's, you know, sorry. Going on here, the average age of mass public shooters is 34. So increasing the age, minimum age for purchasing firearms is not going to hit your target of mass shooters.
It's interesting.
Yep. A few public mass shooters have used high capacity magazines, but there's no evidence the lethality of their attacks would have been affected by delays of 2 to 4 seconds to switch magazines. So your thoughts, 855-450-3733. It's 855-450 and the word free. Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. It's Free Talk Live, and tonight we are talking about how banning guns will not stop mass shootings. And now, on this show, that is certainly not a controversial opinion, and it's not really an opinion. This is a factual news piece from Yahoo's News. You know, I didn't write this. This is what they're saying, and I'm only reading it. Of course, it's, you know, something we've basically the facts we've portrayed over time. You would think, with all the people who are throughout America who are of the opinion that, you know, banning assault rifles or whatever is a good idea, you would think that the phones would be blowing up right now. Not happening, I can assure you. Mm-hmm. But I mean, because they don't like people like don't like to be confronted with facts that disagree with their worldview.
Yes,
and they always feel like there's some nuance that needs to be pointed out. And this, yeah, that's what Free Talk Live's about. The number is 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. But best I can tell, there is no correlation to gun bans and a reduction of crime. Like, none. There's no correlation.
Yeah, and it's certainly, you can't look at U.S. laws, because U.S. laws regarding firearms are mostly based in the state. There are very few federal gun laws. There's a few really big ones that keep you from owning certain kinds of guns, whichever, no matter what state you live in. But we have states like New Hampshire, which has, and I was going to say Vermont, but formerly had very liberal handgun and long gun laws.
Did they pass something that I don't know about?
Yeah, they basically implemented an assault weapons ban and some other things, high capacity magazines, and I'll pull that up and we can talk about that.
It probably won't change
bit.
A thing.
It won't, but it makes people feel good. And conversely, you have states like New York and, you know, Illinois, who have taken a very strict view of gun regulation.
You'd think
and,
that guns, gun crime would be nearly non-existent in those places.
Right. But sadly, it's the opposite. That's
higher.
What hers. Yeah. And, you know, again, I don't want to say that all the shootings in Chicago, which are horrendous, they have one of the highest murder rates in the country for a large city. You know, New Orleans also has very strict handgun laws and things like that. They're also places that have lots of gang activity due to the war on drugs. So, you know, there's a couple things at play there. But people get so shrill, and people will, you know, I threw out some of the same statistics that we're talking about today when I went to that gun rally, anti-gun rally. And I was met with answers like, I don't want to hear your NRA BS.
Right.
It's like, well, I'm not a member of the NRA, and these numbers aren't coming from the NRA. They're coming from the CDC, because I was quoting CDC numbers.
Well, but what they'll tell you is that the Center for Disease Control has been banned, and this is true. They're banned from studying, you know, studying guns and their effects on crime. But they have done it in the past.
Sure.
And those studies show that guns are used far more often to prevent crimes than they are to commit them.
That's about when they banned them from looking into things.
It is. Now, I don't know. I mean, I can't exactly say why they banned them. Maybe they got the result they wanted. They didn't want any other results. I can't tell you.
The estimate was 500,000 to 3 million times each year handguns or firearms are used defensively, meaning to stop a crime. And
That's
correct. Was not what... I don't think that was the result Obama was expecting when he asked for that study to be done.
Right, but you'll be told, well, there's just no good data. Well, I'm sorry,
right.
Because there's no good data because the CDC hasn't studied. Now, just because the CDC is not allowed to use government money to study this doesn't mean that the CDC is not allowed to use private money to study it.
Sure.
And it doesn't mean that any other organization isn't allowed to use government or private money. Specifically, the CDC is not allowed to use government money to study this issue, but there's lots of studies.
Yeah, and there's a great one to go back to was the FBI's Uniform Crime Reports. You know, those are updated every single year. Pretty much all police forces are going to submit their information to them, usually through the state. And that's even if it's not completely all encompassing, it's a great sampling of what's going on around the country and from state to state. And that data is going to back up the same things we're saying. You know, it's rare that that long guns like AR-15s are ever used in crimes. You're going to find out looking at their data that a high number are in gun-free zones, and you can look at average ages, you can look at everything, and you can find out where this information comes from.
It's really irrefutable. There's really no good statistics out there that say that gun bans are effective in reducing crime.
Right.
Now, if you want to reduce crime, you outlaw poor people. Because sadly, they're the ones that are going to much more likely to be convicted of violent crimes. Look, I don't like it.
Right.
I don't want it to be the case, but it appears to be. Now, there's some statistics you can look at.
Right. Look at You can look at arrests by financial, by income level, by race and creed, and.
Guns
like
still,
I said, it's a gun issue, but it's also a war on drugs issue.
That much is true. Many gun control measures are not likely to be helpful, they've said here. The Virginia Tech shooter killed 32 and injured 17 with two handguns. So an AR-15 ban wouldn't have stopped that.
Right.
One of which had a 10-round magazine and the other a 15-round magazine. He simply brought 19 extra magazines. It takes about 3 seconds to switch out a magazine.
Yep, ballpark.
Five.
Yeah, if you're completely unskilled, it's going to take you a little while, but that's one thing that we know about these mass shooters. They usually get so fixated, they're practicing, and they're pretty efficient once they go in,
right.
Sadly.
23 people were killed and another 20 injured in a Kaleen, Texas cafeteria by a man with two 9mm handguns, capable of maximum 15 rounds and 17-round magazines, respectively. A mentally disturbed man armed with two handguns and a shotgun killed 21 people in San Ysidro McDonald's and injured another 19. The handguns utilized 13 and 20-round magazines. The shotgun had a 5-round capacity. What was it that Joe Biden said about rifles? You don't need an AR-15.
Just get a shotgun.
Just get a shotgun. I mean, and then you can go on YouTube and watch women shooting a shotgun, and you can watch women falling down over and over and over again.
Yeah.
My wife hates her shotgun. Hates it.
Right.
And, I don't know what to say.
I do know it's the last thing I want to have is my girlfriend to be afraid to pick up a gun. Because she's afraid of what the gun may do to her shoulder or what's going to happen when she fires it. I want her to be comfortable with it and realize that she can use it, it's not going to hurt, and she can defend herself.
The number here is 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE here on Free Talk Live. And you can call in. You can talk about whatever you want. If this is your issue, please, by all means, 855-450-3733 here on Free Talk Live.
Cryptocurrencies are successful because of good technology. The liberty-loving voluntarists who founded Zencash in 2017 took the best tech, like zero-knowledge anonymity and decentralized autonomous organizations, and are creating a secure platform for money, messages, and media that can be sent to anyone, anywhere in the world. Zencash is a cryptocurrency dedicated to peace, anonymity, and decentralization. Find out more at Zencash.com. That's Zencash.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind, but, we're talking about the six reasons gun control will not stop mass shootings. And it's a story by yahoo.com. And, just about everything in here seems to be something we've talked about in the past.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, somebody carrying a gun hasn't harmed anybody else. There shouldn't be an issue. I want to tell you real quick about how to do your online shopping at shop.freetalklive.com. You just go to shop.freetalklive.com. We've got several retailers there, including Walmart, which are you know, if you're shopping there, you take that one that moment to add that one extra click involved in the shopping process. We get a little spiff back from these companies, and it's helpful. It decentralizes the advertising process and makes it so that we are not beholden to all kinds of advertisers that are out there on the radio. And not that they're not great, but just saying, you do your shopping there and you're helping us to decentralize a little bit. shop.freetalklive.com. Let's go to Charisse calling in from Kansas. Charisse, you're on Free Talk Live. I hope I got your name right.
Yes, Cerise.
Cerise, pardon.
No H. Yeah. Hey, I have listened to you guys. I drive home from work at this time, so I've heard you several times, and I think I called once maybe a year ago.
Great.
And
nice.
You're a delight to listen to. But you know what? I think you might have accidentally come up with a solution when you were talking about it's the poor people who commit the most violence.
Violent crimes. Actually, what I said was they are arrested more often for violent crimes. But yeah, please.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Sure. So seriously, I mean, I'm really serious here. I'm not being facetious. So if we know that about poor people, when you are poor, you don't have access to mental health services. Sometimes you go hungry. You know, all those things. So how about making sure the services that can help poor people to bring them up? Maybe we should focus on that. Therefore, they would be committing fewer crimes.
I'm fine with that if you're willing to trade me for government spending in other places. So if, for instance, yeah, I get to cut $3 out of out of the military spending in order for you to get $1 of government programs. But you know, it's a non-starter with the situation we've got in America.
I know. Yeah, totally. I mean, I really, when you said that, I just thought, wow, now that's a different way to approach it. Again, it would be hard to get statistics.
Well,
but at least the way you were thinking was kind of out of the box, and I appreciated that.
Well, what my proposal would be is to trade our non-productive poor people for highly productive poor people from other countries. That way we can get the folks that are going to do a great job.
You are kidding, aren't you?
Why?
Oh, wicked.
Why are they my responsibility? The fact that I was popped out inside of the United States makes everybody from San Diego to Bangor my responsibility. It seems ridiculous.
But I'll say it's not their fault.
Right.
Whose fault?
Right.
It's
yeah.
not the
I,
fault
I
of
understand.
Poor people.
Of what?
There's so many ways to look at it. And I sometimes am in a situation where I wouldn't say I'm poor, but it's harder to access services. I can't see. My glasses are old, you know, and so it's a matter of perspective, and you made me think differently. And again, that was just really good. You guys are vibrant and full of energy.
Thank you for the call.
Thanks.
Charisse.
You bet. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. You were saying, Chris, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say it's not poor people's fault. That they are poor.
Some people are certainly in those conditions because of medical reasons.
There is that, but I look at government. I look at a system of entitlement that makes people dependent upon the state instead of doing what I think is sort of human nature, which is to go out and try to succeed.
Sure.
Now, not everyone is going to succeed who tries, but I think when you eliminate all those incentives and just say, you know what, you don't really have to do. We have such low expectations from you. Just stay home and do whatever you do. Well, then people who do want a little bit of extra money aren't going to be able to do it in. They can't do it above board. They have to turn towards black markets as a way to supplement their government income. And those are the types of things we see. So it's circular. It's never ending.
I think the government exacerbates the problems regularly when it comes to these things.
Sure.
Not to mention the destruction of the family that I think is so important. I got to say that.
I agree.
Yeah, you know, I really floundered financially prior to meeting my wife, but, you know, taking her strong suits and my strong suits, sort of putting them together,
right,
made it so that. Yeah, I mean, you know, I could make money. She was better at spending it properly or not spending it, really, is the key,
right,
by the way. It's not what you make. It's what you spend
right,
as far as your lifestyle goes. So anyway, let's go to the phones. Robert from Vermont. Robert, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
hey, I would be happy to give up my Vermont state food stamps to get an income from cryptocurrency.
That sounds good.
That's a win.
Absolutely, it would. But that's not why I called, though. I called because, you know, at the beginning of the show or after in getting into the show, you guys were talking about, you know, the firearms and the rallies and stuff. You mentioned that you were surprised that nobody called in. And that statement right there can't be said enough. You know, I guess the thing that really kind of scares me is that, you know, we have this woman's movement that's coming, which is a good thing, but I'm not sure. But
the Me Too movement?
Man, if there's any indication of what the woman's movement did to Bill Cosby, I'm wondering what's going to happen with, you know, with... you know, our government and stuff like that. I think that the Republican Party, I think that it's finished.
The Republican Party is finished?
I think so, yeah, because they've allowed, you know, this to go on for too long. They've insulted the intelligence of the public. They've, you know, done inappropriate things. And
I think the Republican Party's problem is probably demographically an issue.
Yeah.
Like they're getting older. And, you know, the party's moved old and white, which the nation is moving younger and more brown. And so that's a demographic issue that the Republican Party has. I would say that the Democratic Party has the problem of identity politics. And
true.
By that, what I mean is people that identify as a certain thing and say that I'm part of this group or there is this group and this group is treated badly. Because those groups go after each other for who is treated the worst.
Right.
And
competing.
They end up eating their own, as it were.
Yes,
right.
They
so
do.
You've got the trans people saying that, you know, natural breastfeeding is it's inappropriate to talk about natural, you know, natural breastfeeding of children. Because some women can't breastfeed is the notion.
Right.
And look, I when I'm being controlled, my language is being controlled in this way, you know, this it's going to get people upset, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So you've got, you know, feminists saying that trans people aren't real women. Stop it. That you're ruining the women's movement and all those things. And then, you know, Black Lives Matter says,
right.
You white women have it pretty good. At, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah, and I will say this. There have been, you know, it's been the year of Me Too, and it's been the year of I was attacked, violated. I want to really be careful here because I'm gonna piss somebody off. But there are people out there, women and transgendered and gay people and heterosexual males that have been aggressed against by someone else. And that's important. And that doesn't have it doesn't seem to have an ideological tilt to it. You've got, you know, Roger Ailes leaving Fox News, and you got Kevin Spacey getting basically thrown off one of the biggest shows on TV. So, you know, it's not a left versus right thing. It's just an issue.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Robert. Appreciate it. 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. You can call in and talk about the statements I've just made. You can call in on gun control. You can call in on anything.
Right.
You're certainly welcome here on Free Talk Live. That's what we do 7 days a week from 7 p. to 10 p. Eastern Time. Want to tell you real quick, you can call in on Skype if that's what you wish to do. The username here is LRN. That says in Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM. Talk Live. Technical difficulties. The number is 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. And you can call in, talk about whatever's on your mind here and this live edition of Free Talk Live. It's Mark with you.
And Chris.
For years, libertarians of all stripes have wanted a directory of liberty-minded businesses. Well, we're here to help. liberty.menu. Liberty.menu is a tool for our community. It's, at its core, a directory for events, businesses, and digital content, and more. Listings can be rated and reviewed, and there's a bit of a social networking aspect so you can connect and share with others. Use liberty.menu, and it's exclusively for individuals who reject the initiation of force and those who agree to abide by the ethics of the non-aggression principle. Put your voluntarist ideas into action at liberty.menu and use code FTL to get a special badge. It's liberty.menu. Let's go to the phones. Larry calling in from Indianapolis. Larry, you're on Free Talk Live.
How you doing, Mark and Ian?
Ian's not on tonight. He's off at Libertarian Party event. It's Chris.
Yep, it's Chris.
That's great. And Chris, well, you know, you talk about guns. This is an irrelevant argument that you're trying to have with anybody. I know you hadn't had any takers tonight, but guns are just do nothing. We shouldn't even consider that. The thing I'm afraid of is all these people running around carrying guns that have uncertainty in their jobs and in their financial situations,
yeah,
where one incident can cause them to lose everything. So that's what I'm more worried about than anything. But in any way, you talk about welfare, right? Everybody plucks at the poor, gets at the poor. Well,
you said
it's
plucks,
not actually as it, well, as it appears, right? The people that are on welfare, in which they've lobbied for, corporations are on welfare. When they come to town, they get hundreds of million dollars in incentive packages. Some cities give them $1 million cash jackpots. And what they end up doing is, if they do bring any jobs to the set, those jobs are highly subsidized. I think I remember one firm here in town that moved in and bought 120 jobs. Each one of those jobs was subsidized to $230,000. So I think that when you have business, I agree with your libertarian standpoint, that if you have to have one penny of government assistance, that means that you really don't have a business. I mean,
I agree.
I see it all the time in our city here, where big corporations, some of them are Fortune 500, they come before our city council and beg for incentive packages. They get on their knees to get the tax abatements. And this is really a situation where the city is giving this money over, and it's never going to be paid back, because when you ask them to pay it back in the future, they're going to tell you, go pound sand. We're going to give you nothing.
They're going to move out.
In fact, we want you to renew it.
I'd like to put a finer point on it, if I may, Larry. I would say that I agree that any kind of money that comes from the public coffers that goes to a corporation is corporate welfare, and like that's no business.
There's nothing libertarian about that.
Nothing libertarian about that. However, I would say that a tax abatement, if a company takes advantage of a tax abatement, moves some to some place or another like that, I would not want to call that corporate welfare, because it seems like
it is.
Well, I got to say, I'll take my tax abatements wherever I can get them.
No, but here's how it works: is when they get that tax abatement, they go straight to the bank, right? And they, like, I have a 10-year tax abatement for $20 million. They go to the bank and get that money. They draw that money down as they go. So I just like to say that we need to reevaluate our statements that we make about welfare, because when you have the large corporations that have seen what welfare can mean to your bottom line, and they're definitely in a competition with the poor now.
Everybody's on the public teat. There's no doubt about it.
As well, it's going to be in the future. Thanks, Mark and Chris.
Appreciate the call, Larry. Thank you. And what Larry's pointed out is that he's right. So if you look at people who accept government assistance, that would include those who get a check from the government
or a service for free.
What service are you talking about?
I'll say healthcare or something like that. You may not actually get a check, but you get
pretty much
something that the government pays for and then gives to somebody else for no charge.
Pretty much everybody who's getting government healthcare is over the age of 65, so they're already getting a check for Social Security, right?
Oh, not anymore.
Well, I mean, with Obamacare, you're getting insurance. So I guess you can get subsidized insurance.
Yes.
Okay, I'm down.
Yeah, no, and insurance is correct. Good point.
Yep. Then you take people who work for an organization, a company that works for the government, and then you take for people who work for the government, you're supposedly, the numbers I've heard, those who are on some kind of government assistance, work for the government, or work for a company that works for the government, that you're at something like 50% of the population.
Yeah.
And then when you add in some corporation who's getting some kind of government assistance on top of that, then you're pretty high where everybody's on the dole. It's not too many people. Like, usually what they'll come at somebody like me, libertarian, they'll say, right, you use the roads, don't you? Well, exactly how am I supposed to get around if I don't? So you're telling me that I should pay this extortion to pay for the roads and then not use them. Like, you can't charge me for firefighter services and then tell me I can't use them.
Right.
That doesn't make much sense. On one, I mean, if I could withdraw my money, then you'd be in an opt-in situation.
Right.
Or an opt-out situation. If, for instance, let's use government, yeah, government schools. Mm-hmm. My son's never gone to a government school, and to the best of my ability, he will never go to a government school.
Good for you.
Exactly why should I pay to keep a government school going? Now, further, I could point out, since I do pay for my son's schooling and money is fungible, that in fact, the money that I would spend on his education is being spent on other people's kids' education. That's some reverse Robin Hood crap right there.
Right. Well, and you're going to pay double.
I drive a 2002 F-350. It's not like I'm riding around in style here, okay?
And you're going to pay double because you care about your child's education, and I don't blame you for not sending him to an indoctrination camp run by the state. It's insanity. But I think what it comes down to, I mean, we have these systems, and they've been in place since the beginning of the progressive era. They've just gotten larger and larger. We have the social welfare programs like, you know, Medicaid and, you know, food stamps and housing assistance and all that stuff. And then we have the corporate welfare, which is, you know, subsidies and handouts to everything from big oil to big pharma to small businesses, too. And, you know, between the two of them, this is not the country that I think anyone envisioned in the 1700s or in the 1800s. I don't think anybody would ever believe that everything would be flipped on its head to the point where government was the provider for almost everyone. Of course, we all pay for
it
government.
It won't work. Not in the long run.
It won't.
Public mass shooters, I'm going to go back to the story here. Public mass shooters typically have histories of mental health. According to one study, 60% of public mass shooters have been diagnosed with a mental health disorder or demonstrated signs of serious mental health issues prior to the attack. It's worth pointing out here that under the Reagan administration, essentially public mental health institutions were defunded. A large body of research shows a statistical link between mass public killings and serious untreated psychiatric illnesses. Now, serious untreated psychiatric illnesses is kind of the sticker here. If they're untreated up to this point, then how do we know that these people would have been put in some kind of loony bin prior to the shooting? The most commonly diagnosed illnesses among mass public shooters are paranoid schizophrenia and severe depression. It's important to remember, and let's not forget the SSRIs that it seems like every public shooter is on. What is that? Serotonin?
Different drugs that are meant to manage the level of serotonin within the brain, even though there is no scientific number for what a proper level of serotonin is in any individual. So they just move it up or down and see how that does for you.
Right.
That's it.
I mean, most people who have mental health issues are not violent, but there's some of them that are. And the problem is that once you start treating, you're moving. I mean, all we are in this world is the chemicals that float around in our brain.
Right.
You know, and some people have chemicals that are so messed up in their brain that they have to be locked in a room and kept away from other people.
And what happens when they stop taking those?
Right, when they choose to not, choose to self-diagnose and not medicate.
Right, and that's when you see those may cause homicidal or suicidal reactions. That's on the label. That's that bad.
The number is 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE here on Free Talk Live. Or you can join our Discord at discord.freetalklive.com.
The Bitcoin.com wallet is a simple and powerful full-featured wallet that allows you to send and receive Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Core with anyone, anywhere in the world. It supports both single and multi-signature wallets and is available in multiple languages. Use the Bitcoin.com wallet to buy, send, store, and receive both Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Core. Learn more at wallet.bitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live.
Hey, welcome back. It's Free Talk Live. This is Chris.
And Mark. Yeah, you can give us a call at 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. We are live. If it's between 7 p. and 10 p. Eastern Time, where you are, we are live 7 days a week. We always have somebody here on Free Talk Live.
Absolutely. Christmas, Thanksgiving.
It's the truth.
It's every day.
Yeah, we do it. I cannot remember the last time we put a recorded show on Free Talk Live. It's been a very long time. We've always got somebody here taking your calls and letting you talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. Tonight, we have been, and there's nothing saying that you have to talk about this, but we've been talking about how gun control laws aren't going to stop mass shootings. And this is a story from Yahoo.com, Yahoo News' news arm here.
Mm-hmm.
The United States does not have an extraordinary problem with mass public shootings compared to other developed countries. After adjusting for population differences, many other developed countries have worse problems with mass shootings. Then they're saying developed countries, by the way, not just countries, developed countries, worse problems with mass public shootings than the United States has. There were 27% more casualties per capita from mass public shootings in the European Union than the United States from 2009 to 2015.
Yeah, and there's always a couple outliers here. Norway comes in at number one, but they had a horrendous mass shooting. Do you remember the guy he went to?
An island?
An island, right. And it was like a summer camp or something like that. And it was a really high number of fatalities. It was tragic, but that kind of skewed Norway to the top. But, you know, other countries you have, Serbia, the France numbers that I'm looking at, I think were prior to the Charlie Hebdo shootings, which was terrorism. But it's still a mass shooting, you know?
Yeah. That's what people are talking about.
Right.
How can you take that out? It's an ideological issue. Do you want to take out people who shoot people over ideological differences here? That's going to eliminate the Unabomber, too, from mass killings.
Right. And I find it disingenuous when it only talks about mass shootings. It's not about mass shootings. It's about mass killings. If you value human life, and someone's life is taken, it should not matter how that life was taken, whether it happens to be a Canadian truck or whether it happens to be, a big, semi in Nice, France. If it happens to be if it's a mass bombing, if it's an Oklahoma City bombing, those are mass killings. That should be what troubles us and why those things occur, not the tool.
Right, and even after some times after mass killings, they still want to ban guns as though guns didn't.
Right.
I don't know. Let's go to Matthew calling in from Louisiana. Matthew, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hey, so I figured out how to listen to Free Talk Live podcasts on Google Play.
Nice.
And I'd like to thank y'all
for you're welcome.
A week of red pills. I feel like I've been on a diet of them.
Well,
great.
The easiest thing to do, I think, is just to go to freetalklive.com and start your search there. I think listen.freetalklive.com would probably be the best place to go. I don't know much about, I can't speak to Google Play or any of these other particular forms. I don't listen to the show on podcast, so I don't know everything about it. I know Ian spends a lot of time and he's very familiar.
Yep.
Well, I have to use a method that I can download at my house where I have the Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
as
right.
Opposed to use up my data, which is like,
don't do that.
Yeah, there's not a lot there, and iTunes just gobbles it up. But playing it on YouTube just like zips right through because you've nice. Got a video stream too.
There you go.
That's really cool. So any particular subjects that struck you?
Oh, Lord, all of them. Like the Fourth Amendment thing about stopping the Greyhound bus. And
right. Talked about that last Thursday.
Yeah, with Heather, who I believe is, I don't know, she sounds more like a conservative than a libertarian, sort of libertarian-ish.
Yeah. I'll take my libertarians of all stripes, you know, I'm fine with that. And we're all on a path to mm-hmm. learning more about the ideas of liberty, you know. So if she doesn't fit in entirely, well, that's good. Conflict is good for talk radio.
I've said it before. I mean, no offense, Mark, but some of the most boring shows for me, it's usually when there's three of us in here
yeah.
and we all agree on everything.
Yeah.
It's like, geez, come on. So I really appreciate doing shows with Heather because she frequently takes rather, some would say status, but I would say a traditional conservative viewpoint on a lot of things, and it's a good opportunity for me to practice my arguments.
Well, no, she's like a nice polar opposite to Melanie, who is like, holy yes. cow, lady, the police are just doing the job we hired them to do.
She's like a pit bull taking off the chain, there's no doubt about it. Matthew, thanks for the call.
We appreciate it. Yeah, indeed. That is polarity right there.
It's the fun of working on talk radio. Let's go to Michael calling in for Virginia Beach, Virginia. Michael, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, I think there's a parallel between this movement to try to disarm Americans, to try to erase the Second Amendment, and another movement which is trying to disarm American intelligence and counterintelligence agencies, principally the FBI and the CIA.
Okay, now, draw the parallel for me.
Well, here's the parallel. We're being told by many voices in the media, especially right-wing talk radio,
uh-huh.
that former director James Comey
yep.
Committed a crime. This is what they're saying constantly. And these are many of these people are not lawyers, but there are some lawyers out there doing it too, stupid lawyers who don't understand the law as regards intelligence and the difference between intelligence collection and criminal investigation.
Well, the problem with crimes is that, I mean, even the Supreme Court's, when that hands down a decision, it calls it an opinion.
Right.
So, I mean, exactly what is a conviction but an opinion?
Well, here's the thing on Comey.
Okay.
Now, he is being accused of having taken some notes and passed them to a friend of his, including an FBI Justice Department prosecutor by the name of Fitzgerald.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, here's the problem with that. The most acute FBI director in history was the man who replaced J. Edgar Hoover on the day that he died. And what happened within a month of him becoming the new acting director of the FBI, I'm talking about L. Patrick Gray.
Take your word for it.
Within a month, the Watergate break-in.
Okay.
Okay, now, are you there?
I'm listening.
Yeah, we're listening.
Okay, now, what did he do in defending himself for 8 years against five federal grand juries and several congressional committees and hearings trying to crucify this man? He took 8 years to prove his innocence. He was completely exonerated. He is still being accused by prominent members of the press of having been part of this conspiracy, even though he was not indicted. He has not been charged. He was not put on trial. But it cost
him
dearly.
Sounds like a slander suit.
Right.
You're liable.
It cost him dearly to defend himself. But here's what he did. He took out of his FBI office 45 boxes of personal material and he ultimately was given a medium-sized panel truck load of FBI material to defend himself.
Hmm. All right. Well,
does that sound like politics to me, I guess.
I don't know. Thanks for the call, Michael. I'd appreciate it. 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. You can call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about here on Free Talk Live. We have been across the board this evening.
It always happens that way.
It does. I mean, it's an open line show. So people call in to talk about what they want to talk about. What we've been talking about this evening is the reasons that gun control aren't going to stop mass shootings in the United States. And I thought number four was pretty interesting when they said that there's 27% more casualties per capita from mass public shootings in the European Union than in the U.S. from 2009 to 2015.
Yeah.
So apparently, it's, you know, I mean, that's Europe.
Right.
Here in the United States, we've got two guns for every human being.
Yeah, and per capita is a completely different way of looking at it.
Indeed. Mother's Day sneaks up on us, and we hit the panic button. We get suckered into online flower giants pitching 1999 flowers that end up costing $60, or we grab last-minute produce department flowers that smell oddly like green onions. That tells Mom you don't care enough to send the flowers from the Books. The Books is short for bouquets, and they are booking awesome. Books flowers are unique and special as your mom is. They're freshly cut from Books Farms, delivered straight to your door, or your mom's door in that case, so that they last for weeks. Matter of fact, we just got some flowers today from the Books, and they look great. And they showed up, and we popped them in some water, and we followed the little instructions. They give you some little instructions on how to take care of them. It's great. Some of their farms are even located on the side of a volcano, and they produce flowers so gorgeous that Mom will post pics of them and brag about you to her friends. And because Books cut out the middlemen, you'll get amazingly fresh flowers at an amazing price. Show Mom how much you care. Send her artisan design flowers from the Books. Order today and get an extra 15% off when you enter FTL. That's FTL as in Free Talk Live. It's BOUQS.com. And remember to enter FTL to save 15%. Books. .com. Let's go to Mike calling in from Indianapolis. Mike, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi. I just have a short comment about how to ease the fears of the masses over this nasty-looking black rifle. Mm-hmm. Just paint them breast cancer pink, complete with the little ribbons.
Great
idea.
And
they'll fall for it every time.
I think that's probably what it is, yeah. I've actually seen Hello Kitty ARs.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
What's that?
That would be great. That would be great.
Yeah. I saw one person outfit their AR with in like DeWalt black and yellow. They shoved a battery in where the magazine goes. That's obviously a joke. By the way, folks, if you see that, that is not a nail gun, okay? It's just a joke on the internet. It's a clever joke, and whoever did it did a really good job. It looks very, very genuine, but nonetheless. I think you're right, Mike. We need the problem with these happier colors, pastels and all that is you got to clean the weapon that much more. It's got to be, you know, you got to go over it and clean it.
There is that, and there's also the tactical question of it's sort of like the Redcoats. Do you want to be walking around in a gunfight with a bright pink rifle?
Yeah, that's true too.
Well, I have seen camo pink.
I have too.
that's a little more manly.
Yeah, in case you end up in, say, a bounce house or something, you'll blend right in. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, most of my stuff's black or it's flat dark earth. I mean, it's...
That's the color these things come in.
Yeah, I just... don't want anything that really stands out.
The thing in guns used to be like polished, highly polished metal with, you know, like really nice wooden handles.
Oh, yeah. Or just, highly polished wood. And for hunting and things like that, that's great. But, you know, the AR-15 platform, it's a sporting rifle. It's been around since 1964. And that's before it was ever used in combat. It was available to civilians. And
civilian rifle.
Yeah, it started out as a civilian rifle, and I hate to break that to people. But just it's the kind of thing that you can throw in the back of your truck, not really worry about whether you're going to scuff it or scratch it. They are, you know, they're not AK reliable, but they are AR reliable, and
it's just
and they'll
reliable.
They'll take a pretty good beating.
Indeed. Let's go to Vernon calling in from New Orleans. Vernon, you're on Free Talk Live.
Since you don't have Ian there to interrupt you, I wanted to get your opinion real quick. I'm a regular listener to Free Talk Live, and occasionally you all will. It seems like y'all do have a bit of an agenda as far as New Hampshire and the Shire. And I was just curious. I know that you had gotten a bit upset, or apologies if I'm incorrectly articulating what happened. But from what I remember, the Free State Project and you all disagreed and whatever else. And I was just curious what your opinion was on you know, talking so much about local New Hampshire issues on a national talk show, because honestly, when you all start talking about that, I want to tune out, and sometimes I do, and I'm just being honest with you. I think the show is amazing. You know, I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Yeah. So what I would say is that Free Talk Live is, besides being an open lines current events program where anybody can call in about anything they want to call about, it's pretty obvious that we're a bunch of libertarians on here, right? I don't think we're hiding that.
You outed me. Damn it.
And the difficulty is that we're happy to talk about the activism and the things that are going on that are of a libertarian interest anywhere else in the world. The problem is that they generally aren't happening. So there may be places that are freer than New Hampshire, but there isn't any place where you're going to see libertarian activism either inside the state house or out, or inside a courtroom or out, wherever it might be. You're not going to see the activism. And the activism is something that can be reported on. So if, for instance, you could move to, I don't know, Pitcairn Island and be freer, that may be true. But it's unlikely that you will be surrounded by as many libertarians and be surrounded by the, you know, the animating conversation that is important to so many libertarians.
Yeah, and we get a lot of local calls too. So, you know, Dave Ridley's like a frequent caller.
Yeah, we get lots of New Hampshire calls.
New Hampshire type calls and things like that. I can say that on the nights that I'm on, I mean, we always at least make a conscious effort not to talk New Hampshire, at least in the stories we bring in. Their national or international stories.
We're probably
for the most part.
Wouldn't you, Vernon? Would you agree that we're probably below 10% of our conversation focuses on New Hampshire?
It's definitely gotten better, but still, sometimes when y'all bring up the bills and start talking about bills and numbers, and
I'm sorry, Daryl spends his days at the State House going over, you know, these bills, and people are going to talk about what's important to them. And
can I ask you one more question before we run out of time? And y'all can talk about this later.
I'm actually going to hold you over because I feel like I've got more that I want to talk about. Please go ahead.
I wanted to just get your opinion on North Korea and Kim Jong-un, and we got Ian's yesterday, but I would love to hear you two's opinion on that as well.
Sure.
Well, all I can say regarding Kim Jong-un is, you know, if you're going to give Barack Obama the credit for whatever it is that one wants to give the credit for, or Bill Clinton or George Bush or whomever, you're going to have to give Donald Trump the credit for bringing Kim Jong-un to the table to negotiate peace with Korea. Hmm. Look, I don't like the guy, but this happened on his watch, and maybe it's because he doesn't put up with any guff. Please hold the line, Vernon.
We'll bring it back.
Yeah, the number is 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE.
Some of you asked, and now we've delivered. LRN.FM's live Keene, New Hampshire studio shows are now streamed in HD on Twitch. Visit our channel at twitch.lrn.fm and give it a follow. If you have Amazon Prime, you get one free subscription on Twitch. If you use it on our channel, Twitch will give LRN.FM a monthly piece of your Prime subscription cost. So please watch, follow, share, and subscribe to twitch.lrn.fm. That's twitch.lrn.fm.
It's Free Talk Live. And the number to call in about whatever's on your mind is 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. And we're across the board, as we tend to be about this time every show, because we talk about whatever people want to talk about. We are going through a list of six reasons why gun control laws are not going to solve mass shootings. But Vernon called in from New Orleans, and he wanted to talk about New Hampshire, which is where this show originates. And he wanted to talk specifically about the migration, what we call the great freedom migration of libertarian types to one state. And the notion is that once we get here, you do sort of whatever you want. And if you have a large enough concentration, that's going to be, have an effect. And it makes sense that it would be the live free or die state. Because, well, it's the live free or die state. And there you go. I want to tell you real quick about Bitcoin.com. Bitcoin.com is the best source for news and information on cryptocurrency. Whether you're just getting into it or you're very, very familiar with it, you should head on over to Bitcoin.com. Not only will you get news there, you'll get guides on finding out more, what to do, where to get wallets, which are apps that allow you to hold your money, mm-hmm. and hold your money or create accounts, that kind of thing. Also, where to get Bitcoin, how to get Bitcoin. They're very, very clear, and they make it so easy at Bitcoin.com. Again, it's Bitcoin.com. Let's go back to Vernon in New Orleans. Vernon, you're back on Free Talk Live.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, yep. I got you. Yeah, so
I cannot hear you all. I guess the feed has dropped out. Yeah. If you could put me on hold, maybe it'll come back. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I want one thing Vernon asked that I want to specifically say is that I don't necessarily believe that the Free State Project is right for every libertarian.
Yes, agreed.
That you need to really look at picking up and moving your life, because this can be an extraordinarily expensive operation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Relocating from any state to any state is expensive. And in the Northeast, up here in New England, I should say, we have our own unique expenses that other places don't have. I've never lived anywhere where I paid for snow removal.
Indeed. Also, you know, snow's an issue, right? Like, some people just don't like the cold.
Right.
And, you know, on one hand, I see some people's point that, look, if you can't handle the cold, then we don't need you. You know? And that's kind of how I feel about the Free State Project, is that you should be able to handle a little bit of, sort of people telling you not to come, because if you still want to come after hearing maybe some of the downside, then you're probably the right person.
Yeah.
So if you want to find out more, you can go to ShireSociety.org, and we've got all kinds of information there about moving to New Hampshire and that sort of thing. Let's go to John calling in from Myrtle Beach in South Carolina, in case you didn't know. John, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Hey, not so much.
Hey, I just got a question. I was listening when you guys, at your last break, guys were talking about, you know, libertarian, you know, being libertarians and all that stuff. And mm-hmm. And the Donald Trump thing, not liking Donald Trump. And I got a couple questions. Just,
sure.
Just kind of being new to following politics, quite honestly, didn't like what was going on with, like, Barack Obama, all that good stuff.
Okay.
And quite honestly, I would have voted for Bigfoot if he had a good, you know, a good, you know, message. You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
So as far as now, this is where I'm a little confused. Because I know I'm not liberal, Democrat. I don't think I'm Republican because a lot of the things I don't agree with 100%. And libertarian, I do agree, at least as far as less government.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
So, I'm sorry?
That's what I think.
We're agreeing with
you. So now as far as libertarian, I don't understand, I guess, quite. I don't know. It just kind of seems like I know Donald Trump is in. He's trying to take care of a lot of things, undo a lot of things that Obama did.
Right.
And he is, I mean, essentially he is government. But how does something like Donald Trump affect libertarian as far as you know, just as far as, like, you know, his agenda. Because, I mean, I know, you know, a lot of people to build the wall, and, you know, I know he's 100% gun, not about gun control, stuff like that. So
yeah.
How does that kind of tie to your guys' agenda?
Well,
or at least the way that your politics, at least.
Right. Donald Trump affects libertarians like he affects everybody else. We're all subject to the effects of what gets done and what comes out of Washington. But as on a philosophical issue, libertarianism is really stupid simple. If you really boil it down, it's don't attack each other. And the only time you can use violence should be to defend yourself. And you can dispense with all the rest of the philosophy. And if you just boil it down to that, just don't hurt anybody else and don't violate their rights. And that's it. So when Trump does things that libertarians appreciate, like standing up somewhat against gun control, then yeah, we say that's a great thing, but don't forget you're also saying, you know, we have to keep people out of our country who may be resources that our country could use. They may provide a benefit to our country by being here. So it's sort of a give and take.
I can see that. I mean, I can honestly see that. But I mean, on the that other side of the coin. Now, you know, don't, you know, you don't want to attack anybody. I mean, you know, or violence, you know, unless you're being attacked or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But now look at, you know, like the, you know, like with the Syrian thing, you know,
yep.
that you know, he bombed Syria because, you know, they gassed their people.
Right. Or
so,
allegedly.
To me. Well, allegedly, there you go.
Yeah.
And but you know, I mean, we'll just say that, you know, just everything's black and white. It did happen. This happened.
All right,
we bombed them back. Now, why? I don't understand why that would be a bad thing. I mean, just because. I mean, yes, of course. I mean, war. I mean, killing.
It's arbitrary. That's the reason. So, if Syria decides to kill a handful of its citizens with gas, and then you decide to bomb them over that, it seems really silly, considering they're killing a whole bunch of their citizens with bombs and bullets.
Right.
So, if you're going to stay out of it, stay the hell out of it.
Right.
If you're going to get in it, well, go ahead and ruin it like you did Iraq, ruin it like you did Libya. I mean, just go ahead and ruin it.
Right.
So that's what I say.
That makes sense, you know, because, I mean, he did say, when he was running, he did say that he wanted to focus more on the United States.
But he also wanted to build the military, which doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't want to build things that you blow up and you don't have anything of value there. I want to build things like, if the government is to build things, I'd like to build things like bridges and roads and infrastructure.
Well, there's this sort of, it's a very strong conservative idea that, you know, we need a very strong defense, but we Republicans will stop using it arbitrarily. So we're going to build all these brand new toys, but then trust us, we're not going to go in and do nation building like we have in the past and like other administrations have. And that's just not how it works. That's not real world.
And I don't think either of us here, I voted for Gary Johnson for president, but if I couldn't have voted third party or minor party, I think is how we prefer to say it here. If I couldn't have voted minor party,
mm-hmm.
I would have either sat out or voted for Trump because I just couldn't stomach Hillary.
Right. No way there.
And that, I mean, to me, she was the epitome of a huge government and just, you know, I mean, you know, doing everything to benefit her and her own, you know what I mean? So.
But the national debt hit $21 trillion under Trump.
Right.
And it's not going down. And I wish he would really focus on that. John, thank you for the call, though. I appreciate it. These are great questions, right?
Like this
is, you know, what do libertarians think about Donald Trump? And the answer is, well, jury's out and depends on the libertarian.
Generally, not much.
Yeah, well, there you go. The government isn't libertarian, so, you know, it's much more difficult. The number is 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE here on Free Talk Live. Talk Live, The number is 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. It is Mark with you this evening.
And Chris.
You can call in and talk about whatever's on your mind. That's what we do here on Free Talk Live. I want to go back to the phones real quick. Go to Vernon calling back. He had some phone issues, and generally we'll let you call back. It's one call a night generally, but if there's problems. So, Vernon, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to finish up real quick. I'm glad that you all have the Shire and that you all promote that. It just sometimes comes off as an agenda item, and I'm not
everybody's
saying that
got
you
an
aren't
agenda.
Necessary, but, it's real true, but I don't know. I'm just making a comment. Y'all can take it as you want.
Sure.
And then the last thing, Mark, I hope you'd never leave this show because, and I wish you could call in through Skype or something whenever you're gone and it's only Ian, because Ian is on one extreme and you're a moderate, and it's what tempers the show, and it makes it much more tolerable. And I want to thank you all again for taking my follow-up.
Yep, thanks
no
so
problem.
Much for the call.
Thanks
Vernon.
A lot.
And I do get that a lot, right? Like that I'm the voice of reason on the show. I don't know. I do try to be reasonable. But at the same time, you need somebody with the passion that Ian has in order to do what Free Talk Live has done. And to be very blunt about it, Free Talk Live is a real anomaly in the area of talk radio. Mm-hmm. There isn't much out there like us. Michael Harrison, who is the publisher of Talkers Magazine, one time on one of his events, it's been a few years, he basically pointed out Ian and I and said that we had done the impossible in talk radio. By the way, I wish somebody had told me it was impossible when we had started this, because I wouldn't have dumped as much time in it as I had. But that we had created, just two guys had created a talk show, and now we're on a more than 100, I think it's 185 radio stations right now across the U.S. and, territories and all that sort of thing. And we have a huge reach, and we're broadcasting the message of liberty, unlike other shows out there who are, Republican, Democrat, and, we're able to get on both of these stations.
Right.
Because we're less distasteful than the other guy.
It cracks me up. I was so amazed when I found Free Talk Live, because I was a talk radio junkie. I listened to left and right, made fun of both of them, tried to figure out something entertaining from either one, but I just loved the idea. And then I remember searching on my Roku and finding you guys when I searched for Liberty.
Interesting.
It was really odd, and been a fan ever since.
Yep. Let's stop stroking each other here. Let's go to Joe calling in Grand Rapids. Joe, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, the whole debate with gun control, libertarians really need to get behind this. This isn't just a Democrat, Republican thing.
I don't think libertarians have ever left the gun control issue.
Well, I don't know. I know a lot of people who just like to sit in the sidelines and snipe at both sides.
Okay.
Sometimes you got to suck it up and vote for the guy who's
Oh, you mean
a communist.
Voting? Okay. So voting is an activism. Okay.
To
be clear, let me talk to you about mathematics real quick. I don't know. You're in Michigan. I can't tell you what the vote totals were for the electoral votes in the state of Michigan. If you're talking specifically about Donald Trump, but I can tell you in New Hampshire that it was more than one vote that separated Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump in the state of New Hampshire. So if I had voted instead for Donald Trump, rather than having voted for Gary Johnson, was who I voted for, then it still wouldn't have changed the outcome. As a matter of fact, if I were to give you the superpower of to go back in history and to change any vote outcome in any state by 100 votes, it still wouldn't. That would make you 100 times as powerful of a voter as you are today. It would still not change the outcome of one single election in American history. So voting is not the issue. The issue is education.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. It was 10,000 votes that he won in Michigan, which is close, but
relatively speaking,
this issue, this gun control issue, you look at countries where they've taken the gun rights away from the citizens. They go after free speech. They go after due process. They go after all of it. Yeah. There's a YouTube guy who made a bad joke on his YouTube channel, and he got convicted for it.
Yeah, this is over in Great Britain. Somebody, some guy got convicted of sort of making his pug, teaching his pug to kind of raise its little paw.
The Nazi pug.
And then put like a little Nazi outfit on the pug and, you know, just made a joke of it. And they put, I think it was 8 months or 7 months.
It was huge, and you look at what Britain is doing now with they're trying to stamp out all knife crime because they have no guns, but their murder rates are higher than in London than they are in New York.
London's higher than New York City.
Right.
These statists, they want to control every aspect of your life, and it starts with disarming you, and then they'll start by shutting you up, and then you'll basically, you'll have no rights to the court of law. I mean, you can look at history and look at it's like a domino. It starts with one thing, leads to another, leads to another. And there's a segment of our country that would love, they'd love to shut up small government people.
Sure.
Do you think the people that run California wouldn't love to get their hands in D.C.? Those types of people.
They should go off and do their own thing.
Well, they're pretty much doing it. I got one question
for you. I
would
support that. Okay.
Yeah. And I ask this of a lot of pro Second Amendment, pro gun rights guys is, when is enough enough? When does it switch from us trying to sway votes, sway politicians, us anti-protesting against gun laws and things like that? When does it become too much? When do the gun owners of America actually take action, take it into their own hands, and say, no, we're done living in tyranny. We're not going to go down this path.
Well, we do our little rallies. We do our marches on the state capitals.
Right.
I think when it comes to the point where, I hope it never happens, but if it comes to the point where they start kicking in people's doors and demanding their guns,
right,
I think then you're going to have, it's going to be bad. And we outnumber them. That's the problem. People forget this.
Mm-hmm.
The citizens outnumber the government in this country.
Yeah, but the citizens are completely divided.
Right.
I think what really comes down, people are always talking about civil wars and these sorts of things. I don't know why in the world they think they want to fight civil wars against the gun owners. I mean, talk about a losing battle.
Well, if that's your tipping point, then it's happening right now in Washington State after they've passed all their victim rights laws and things like that. They are knocking down doors, taking guns from people that have not been convicted of a crime.
It's scary. You could have some of these states are coming up with these laws. You could have an ex-wife who hates your guts, and all of a sudden she just accuses you of something, of threatening her, and here you go. You got the police kicking in your door, taking all your guns.
That has never happened.
Something like that.
There has never been a woman that has said that untruly said that some man did. I don't even know where the hell I'm going. It's so ridiculous.
You know what? People lie.
They lie.
People lie,
and it's not just people with 2X chromosomes.
Right.
People lie.
Yeah.
But that's my real question. I mean, and the pro-gun, I'm one of them. I've been one of them. I've been to rallies. I've testified before, state legislatures and things like that. I am one of them. But at what point do people take the next step? And it's really hard for people to pin down. It's usually comes
it's
down to what
because,
you say, and it's like, well, if they came door to door, that would be too much. But again,
well, it's tough because you could always, we're lucky we have 50 states, you got people from California moving to free states, and other states like that, New York, whatever. But, I guess you got to weigh, is it worth putting your family in danger over me owning this gun? It's a tough decision, man. I can't make it for somebody else.
I can't either. And I will say that being disarmed is putting your life in danger.
Yeah. I mean, what is it? Self-preservation is the first law of nature. I think it was Samuel Butler said that. And it's true. No animal, except for us humans, begs the government for the right to defend ourselves.
Right.
And
the first tools that were created were likely, I mean, that what was it? The
2001
where the hominid, picks up this femur would be a really great thing to brain me a tapir or whatever that little pig thing was that was around.
Right.
And, then he clobbers the tapir and then this would be a good way to handle this other tribe that ran us away from the watering hole. He clobbers the other tribe's lead ape or whatever. Yeah. I mean, that's what tools are for. Thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Yep, thanks for the call, Joe.
All right, bye.
The number's 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. Or you can use Skype. Our username is LRN. That's as in Liberty Radio Network. LRN.FM. 855-450-FREE here on Free Talk Live. Talk radio generally, and Free Talk Live specifically, are a really inexpensive way to reach customers. All advertising is about return on investment. If you keep your investment low, you have a better chance of seeing a proper return. Free Talk Live is on more than 160 radio stations and the internet, reaching hundreds of thousands of listeners with ad packages from $600 to $6,000 a month. Imagine what we can do for your business, project, website, or idea. Email me, Mark, at freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live is live, even on Saturday.
Right.
If it's between 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we are live 7 days a week. And I don't care if it's Christmas, Thanksgiving, it doesn't matter. We're here. It's Mark with you.
And Chris.
And you can call us at 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. And this evening, we have been talking about, among other things, this Yahoo News story, the six reasons why banning gun control, or excuse me, gun control won't work to stop mass shootings. And, well, I pretty much agreed with everything so far. Let's go to the phones and the fun here, though. We've got Troy on the line from California. Troy, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. How are you?
All's well. What's on your
mind? Great.
First-time caller and first-time listener. I drive back and forth from Vegas to California every week.
Okay.
Quite
a commute.
And I don't like to say that I have a particular party. I'm a patriot at heart. I served in the military, and I'm very proud of our country and where we live.
Mm-hmm.
Being from Vegas and spending a lot of time there, you know, the mass shooting out in Las Vegas at that concert in October hit really hard.
Yeah.
And then I have four kids, and, all these shootings at the schools mm-hmm. that have literally, I mean, skyrocketed out of control is just absolutely frightening, terrifying. And when I look at the shooters and the particular situations that happened during that time, like that guy at Mandalay Bay that shot down on that crowd. I mean,
right.
He had multiple automatic weapons and like
semi-automatic weapons.
No automatic weapons.
And then you have the shooter, the shooters at the school again with weapons like. With kids that are 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't understand. Why would you need all these weapons? What do you need all these weapons for? I mean, if you want a weapon to protect your family and your home, I understand that, okay? But, like, enough is enough. Like, these kids are getting murdered in school. You can't even go to school anymore and feel safe. You go to a concert and people are shooting down into a concert. This isn't the first concert it's happened at. It's happened in other places as well.
Right.
I mean, like, we're losing control. We're losing control, and...
Well, I'm not sure the control was ever had.
Many innocent lives.
To be clear, Troy, I'm not sure that we ever had control. Okay, so mass shootings, as we're reading through this story here, mass shootings aren't new. They aren't increasing. They're at rates of the 70s and 80s, or excuse me, the 80s and 90s currently. And so, I mean, as upsetting it is, and it certainly is, you know, I'm not sure that the control ever existed.
What has changed... And has certainly changed is the amount of media exposure that these attacks receive. And, you know, what's different now than in, say, the 1970s or the 1960s is we're on a 24-hour news cycle. And it I'll tell you what crushes my soul is to see a 4 or 5-year-old girl at a gun control rally looking like she is terrified to go to school because she's going to be next. They're going to come in and they're going to shoot up my school. And I hate to be blunt about this, but statistically, that just doesn't happen. We see these events have occurred for an awfully long time, and there's other ways that mass murderers kill. It's not how they are killed. I feel no more or no less sympathetic for the people who were killed in Las Vegas going to a concert just out to have a good time than I do for the people that were murdered in Canada by some guy with a truck, you know, or the knife stabbings that occurred in China just recently in a school there. I don't care about what weapon was used. What I care about is why people become homicidal. And you can take away all the guns right. you want, but when it comes down to it, you still need that homicidal person who has, for whatever reason, just decided that this is the best choice that they can make right now. And I don't get that.
I mean, don't... Okay, I grew up in the 70s, so I don't really remember a lot of different school shootings. And I know a lot of it has to do with media and coverage and the ability to get news stories out across the entire country at the snap of a finger. But I just don't remember that many shootings happening in schools in particular. And then I think, I don't know, maybe like we need to find a way to screen gun owners better, like maybe psychological testing or some sort of...
Doesn't work.
Right now, like, these people that are doing these shootings, they are homicidal. They're suicidal. They end up killing themselves at the time in the incident.
I wish they'd crazy. Start there. Start there. Kill yourself first, and if you still feel like you got to do something, then go kill somebody else.
Me too, man. I'm with you. If you're going to kill yourself, you know, that's your own business.
Right.
Don't do it. But please don't hurt everyone else in the process. Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
I really appreciate you guys taking my call, and I hope to call and talk to you about other issues down the line.
Please do. Yeah. Thank you so much for the call.
Yeah. Do you remember the song, the Boomtown Rats, I Don't Like Mondays?
I know the song.
Right. I don't like Mondays.
Yeah.
Yes. It's karaoke night here on Free Talk Live. but that was written about a 70s school shooting. A girl,
which was
very, very rare, was very depressed, lived across the street from an elementary school. Her father got her a rifle for Christmas, and she said she actually wanted a radio. And she started shooting. She killed the principal, and a number of other people were, I think, killed and injured. And when the police went to ask her, why did you do this heinous act? I don't like Mondays.
Wow. Let's go to Joe, calling in for Virginia. Joe, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
What's on your mind?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, good, thanks. Go ahead.
Good. Well, I was talking to your call taker. Again, disclosure, I'm on lunch. I'm in law enforcement. I just happened to be on lunch flipping through channels, and I was very refreshing to hear the open communication between all different parties.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts, Joe?
As far as your gun control, I think what a lot of people don't get into or don't want to get into, because it's more of an emotional response to say, yeah, we need gun control. The reality is I've been in law enforcement for over 18 years. People that have guns and do bad things are committing crimes. Guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Yes, I agree completely. And I can't emphasize that enough. You have to have someone who is homicidal. That's not a normal human state. And you know that as well as anybody. You have to deal with that sort of thing.
Correct. Typically what you'll find is a homicidal or suicidal ideation, and it's suicidal by whatever, by police or whatever. And typically the people, you know, when we start outlawing guns, it's not the law-abiding citizen. In my 18 years, I've never had an open carry person or a concealed carry person give me any grief. Typically, it's a guy that runs from the car. They just committed the bank robbery or whatever.
Right.
Yep, that's generally how it goes.
Too often it's an emotional thing for people to, well, and it is a tragedy what has happened.
Yeah, it's terrible.
When somebody dies.
And that's the political movements where they use these people who are in the throes of grief to get their to push their agenda from an emotional standpoint. And I realize humans tend to make emotional decisions and very rarely like make logical decisions. That's one of the reasons that I'm you know so happy that people are calling in and that we're talking about this tonight is that, you know, that doesn't seem to be a lot of evidence that banning these things really works. Joe, thank you for the call, and please call in again in the future. Appreciate your perspective. Thank you.
Sure.
Oops, got him off there. 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. We're talking about, well, guns tonight here on Free Talk Live, and specifically it was an article from Yahoo here where it says six reasons why banning the gun control won't stop mass shootings. And you know, I haven't seen any good evidence from the other side on this. It seems to be largely emotional stuff, and I understand it's emotional. People being shot is emotional.
Yes.
But public policy shouldn't be.
Yeah, and it's tough to divorce those, and I think both sides react emotionally. Whenever one of these events happen, it begins on generally on the anti-gun side who will blame everything on the tool used by the homicidal mass murderer. And then you'll have this knee-jerk reaction of people on the right, and now it seems to be to attack anyone who was promoting that, as the case in the Florida students, some of those that were more outspoken.
Yeah, I'll get right to the calls here shortly, but I want to tell you about Zencash. So Bitcoin was great technology when it came out in 2009, and blockchain tech has been being adopted in industries around the world, but when it comes to currency transactions, you don't always want your transactions on public display for everyone to see forever and ever. And that's what makes Zencash so great. It's a privacy option for transactions. It has a privacy option for transactions and messaging using zero knowledge proofs. Zencash has more than 8,000 secure nodes, making it one of the most secure networks of any cryptocurrency. And Zencash is made by voluntarists, with the idea of voluntary interaction being embodied right in their white paper. Zencash has better tech than their competition. Learn more at zencash.com. Again, it's zencash.com. Let's go to Scott in Indiana. Scott, you're on Free Talk Live.
Good to hear from you again, Mark.
Hey, thanks, Scott.
Yeah, I was just going to start with saying that I don't really give these people who seek to ban guns, especially the politicians, the benefit of the doubt that their intentions are good at all. I don't buy it at all. I look at them as I look at people throughout history who've sought to disarm the populace. As they see that this is a means to an end, and what they do is the first thing they do is they take away the guns, and then they start taking away everything else. And look no further than and it starts with violence, usually low intensity violence, and becomes worse. Just as you cited earlier, a Great Britain with the guy you cited, by the way, he goes by the moniker Count Dankula on YouTube, and he trained his pug to do these Nazi salutes. And by the way, he wasn't even then dressing the dog in Nazi uniforms. He was just making little jokes. And the whole joke was sort of like Mel Brooks doing Springtime for Hitler in The Producers. And it was just a play on it. You know, what would be the worst thing that the most unexpected thing that a cute little pug dog would do? I know, let's act like Hitler. Well, Dankula is far from a Nazi, but in Great Britain, a lot of people don't know, they don't have a First Amendment, and they don't have a Second Amendment.
Right. They pretty much don't have freedom of speech anywhere in the world except for the United States. And this is one thing that I like to say here about the United States. If you want me to say something good about the United States, we can complain. Like, we have the ability to complain, and they really can't say anything about it.
They will sometimes, and don't let me try to convince anyone that our First Amendment rights aren't constantly under attack. But at least the courts tend to side with us occasionally on that one.
Yeah, it's better than most.
Yeah, I say so. And George Orwell said it very concisely. He said, if you want to know who your masters are, look at whom you're not allowed to criticize.
So who aren't we allowed to criticize, Scott?
It seems like the government, largely. But so also are some favorite groups
critiquing the government constantly. I mean, yes. Donald Trump's not tweeting away because he's everybody loves him. People are critiquing the government.
Yeah.
Well, the other interesting thing is we're already seeing rumblings from people wanting to limit the First Amendment right here. I mean, look at these guys. Whether you like him or not, Milo Yiannopoulos trying to go to speak at Berkeley. What do they do? They riot. And they riot. Why? Because they don't like his words.
No, that's
his
true.
His words.
Right. Yeah. But they're afraid
of these people openly say that the First Amendment is harmful to them.
That's very frightening. That much is absolutely true.
Right.
Colleges around America, not just students, but professors are saying things like, well, free speech is racist because those who are in, for whatever reason, disadvantaged, are their speech isn't recognized as much or whatever. And I look, the number is 855-450-3733. I don't know what your color is,
right.
And I don't care, okay?
Right.
So you can't say you don't have free speech because I'll let you on the air. You can't say a few. There's some more choice words you can't say, and certainly I'm not going to necessarily disagree with what one says, but, yeah, I think it's ridiculous. If you outlaw ideas, you'll never get new good ideas.
Well, let me throw this First Amendment thing at you. Do you feel that the government, some parts of the government are declaring war on the press? Because that's in the First Amendment, too.
I think that I at least am thinking so far as especially these, and Mark was so right to cite the professors, it's even, you know, shocking enough that we have these Antifas, you know, running around clubbing people with bike locks, but professors themselves doing that. I think of these professors as a little more than adjuncts of the government and the people. They're doing the bidding. They're basically like the Madame Defarge of the new, new anti-freedom revolution.
Okay, so when Trump says he doesn't want anyone from this news agency or that news agency to be in the White House press briefings or just flat out kicks him out, does that concern you too?
I've got my differences with Trump, and I don't like the way he is constantly on the Twitter machine and all. I think he could be a bit more dignified.
Right.
But I think I look at that more as throwing down a marker to, like, look, you know, answer some serious questions instead of clowning around and trying to, you know, paint me as something that I'm not. I mean, I've got my issues, but I look at that as putting down a marker, not a really serious thing. It's like anything else when you do in your bargaining. You bargain way higher than you actually expect to arrive at in the beginning. So you're like, hey, look, you know, would you quit calling me a racist and actually ask real questions instead of turning every press conference into a circus?
Thanks for the call, Scott.
Appreciate it.
So I'm going to handle that. I've got another take on that one, Chris.
Please.
I'd say this. So the press has been complicit with the government in the growth of the state over time.
No
and
argument.
By the growth of the state, I would specifically say the growth of the president's power. Many of the powers that are used by the president, Donald Trump, Barack Obama, George Bush, are manufactured out of whole cloth. And that cloth is not the United States Constitution.
Right.
And the press it has been lockstep complicit. They don't ask questions of small government people versus, you know, like they just quote the politicians and they just go on as though that's the word of God.
Absolutely.
Well, this is the probable, almost certain future of acting like the Constitution's a doormat is having the Constitution treated like a doormat. Okay? If the press doesn't want to defend every single one of the rights in the Bill of Rights, then by God, I don't care what happens to CNN's news person. Okay? I just don't care. I mean,
I understand what you're saying, but I do believe that the press provide a crucial oversight in our society.
As the press, I would say that we are the fourth column, right? There's three... three different areas of government. We're the fourth one. Our job is to bring the truth. But they haven't been doing that for decades. And when you don't do your job, well, you're out the door. Free Talk Live. We should have a Free Talk Live representative in the White House.
Right.
855-450-FREE.
LRN.FM now has a Discord. Discord is a free text and voice chat platform, and we now have our own server with a bunch of channels at discord.lrn.fm. You can join other listeners as they chat about various things during our live shows, or anytime, day or night. Discord software is available cross-platform, so you can have it on whatever device you want and take your chats anywhere. Join our Discord at discord.lrn.fm. That's discord.lrn.fm.
It's Free Talk Live. Here we're in the midst of the final hour of Free Talk Live. You can call in and talk about whatever's on your mind. We are talking about, well, this article from Yahoo that says the six reasons gun control measures won't stop mass shootings. And, well, it's pretty well researched and pretty clear.
Yep.
The number is 855-450-3733. It's Mark with you, by the way.
And Chris.
Let's go to Connor calling in from Myrtle Beach. Connor, you're on Free Talk Live.
How you doing there, Mark and Chris? Good to speak with you guys. I'm kind of new to the radio show. I've been listening to 99.5 for a bit of time now. But
excellent.
I just wanted to say that I've done a little research of my own before the elections with President Trump and Hillary Clinton were going about. And I noticed that Hillary Clinton was had a bunch of different investigations on her in her past. So I'm glad that I chose Trump over Hillary.
She certainly had many investigations and many more scandals behind her. Those that would be her supporters would say, well, these are just people who are trying to silence her and you know, bringing these things up or whatever.
They've been trying to shut her up since she was in the White House.
And basically it comes down to the notion that we dislike her because she has two X chromosomes. That's not how I don't believe I feel that way. I don't suspect people who necessarily feel that way would always know why they feel that way. But to me, I think this was probably one of the some of the worst choices America's ever been given when it came to politicians. So
yeah, it was a rough year.
But anyways, on the topic of guns, I am for the Second Amendment. I do not own one my own self, but I'm for it nonetheless. If you have a weapon on the table and there's no human contact within that weapon, if once the human hand touches that weapon and it has a finger on that trigger, then that weapon will kill someone.
Good.
But if it's left as is, there's no way for it to pull its own mechanism. It's not a living.
It's an inanimate object. I keep an AR-15 in my living room just to see if it's going to kill me one of these days. And so far, we're about 3 years in, and it seems to be doing okay. It's my own little experiment. Take a picture of it every once in a while. haven't killed anybody yet? Nope.
One of the things I think about this AR argument specifically is there's an organization called, I think it's ghostgunner.com, ghostgunner.net. Pardon me if I don't know exactly. I didn't look it up, but it's called the Ghost Gunner. And the Ghost Gunner is a CNC machine. For those that don't know, that's basically a metal routing machine. You put a block of aluminum in, and you get an AR lower. And a lower is what the government calls a gun. So you can buy all the little accessories you want, and you will have an AR-15 you can build for $1,700, I think is the number, less than $2,000, and the cost of aluminum, you can outfit a small army in the course of 2 months. And they will all be completely unregistered weapons. And they will function just like another AR. There's nothing that's functionally different. If you tell me you're going to ban ARs, I'm telling you all you're doing is selling CNC machines.
Yeah, I'd absolutely.
Have to agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, because you can't stop it.
No.
That's pretty much how I would take the gangs and all of these other criminals that are running around nowadays are kind of acquiring their weapons.
I
think mostly what they're getting is stolen weapons. It's like at anybody's house, the things that people want to steal isn't your TV. I just went to Walmart the other day. They had a 48-inch TV for $400. It's not worth it to take your TV off the wall for the $50 that they're going to get to hock the thing. If 50, I don't know what it is, but $50 sounds right to me. Maybe jewelry. we don't have jewelry at my house.
Right.
You know, the only thing in your little fireproof box is car titles, for God's sake. I mean, there's nothing to steal in somebody's house besides weapons.
I was reading an article, and it intrigued me because the title was something like three things that could make an actual difference in controlling death by firearms. I'll pull up the article. I'll see if I can find it again. But one of the things that they mentioned was gun owners need to be more responsible about leaving their firearms inside their cars. So, and it's interesting. I'd agree with that. It's so interesting.
It shouldn't be in the car, or should be?
Should not be. Okay. You should. I never leave guns in my cars. Okay. I mean, the gun stays on me. That's where I know where it's at. But the problem is, and talking to police departments and things like that, they're like the majority of guns that we find that were obtained illegally are stolen, and the majority of those that were stolen out of vehicles. It's just a very simple thing to, you know, especially if you've got a Smith & Wesson bumper sticker, for a gangbanger to walk up with a crowbar, crack your window open, and check inside and see if you left a piece in there. So they were saying that that was one of the ways that many guns get into the wrong hands. They're not getting in there legally because we already have gazillions of gun laws. I mean, if you've ever been through the process of purchasing a firearm, it's not just like you go through the checkout line at Walmart, which is what they would portray it to be from the anti-gun side. It is detailed, and you'll sign, you know, on under penalty of law, a whole bunch of times to get anything. But that's the idea. And to talk about ghost gunners a bit, there have been a couple cases where the shooters did manufacture their own guns, but it's still been really, really rare.
It's pretty rare.
A couple cases in California.
Mostly it's stolen guns. Connor, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Really appreciate it.
Yep. Number's 855-450-3733. Let's go to Bad Slave. Calling in on Skype. You'll notice the difference in audio quality. Bad Slave, you're on Free Talk Live.
I hope so.
Indeed.
Thanks, Mark and Chris. Good to talk to you. There's so many subjects, but one of the ones that I focus on is the actual true use of most firearms, and that is for self-protection out and about, some in the home, but you know, if it's more often, you know, that there's muggings and what have you going on, or holdups and in stores, that people carrying their own guns they're using these guns not necessarily to put a bullet in someone,
but
letting people know, you know what? If you keep coming at me, you may end up with a bullet. And they decide not to do anything at that point and run away, go find another target.
Three times the amount of crimes that are reported. Three times that it's just where a gun's displayed and somebody runs off.
Right. And if you look at the limited research, you know, 500,000 to 3 million times per year that guns are used in a way crime. You know, that's.
Yes.
I wish there were a better study. I wish there were something up to date. And I think.
Well,
you know,
there was. There was, in fact, some recent data that was part of some research that got done. I don't know what the date on it is, but in the last year or two, and it was by the CDC, and they were researching a bunch of other causes of death and risk and what have you. And one of the questions that was in this larger survey was a question about, have you ever been threatened and used your handgun to fend off a threat? And they came up with 2.5 million times in a year in America, you know, and you know also that number is underreported because people are carrying guns that they don't want anybody else to know about, so they're not gonna report the fact that ever occurred.
Indeed.
And
Absolutely. If somebody's a convicted felon, they're carrying a gun to protect themselves, they're not going to tell you on some government form they use that gun to protect themselves.
Exactly. And
thanks for the call.
These are always going to be samples. You know, you're never going to survey everybody in the United States, so we're just going to give it our best guess.
Free Talk Live, final segment of the final hour here. It's Mark with you.
And Chris.
And, well, you know, it's possible we could squeeze you in. The number's 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. If you like the way that we do Free Talk Live, the open lines, the liberty-oriented talk, talking about subjects that aren't necessarily getting talked about by other radio programs and certainly aren't getting talked about them in the same way, please check out our amplifier program. It's amp.freetalklive.com. That's A-M-P, amp.freetalklive.com. There are some perks that you will enjoy there, including different ways to communicate with the hosts and advertising free podcasts and that sort of thing. It's amp.freetalklive.com. Let's go to Roland calling in from Auburn. Roll Tide, Roland.
Yes. Is this Mark or Ian?
Mark. Chris is sitting in with me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Chris. Yeah, I've spoken, I think, with you before and Ian, and I really appreciated it in the past. But I thought I could bring up something that is very enlightening about the gun debate issue. I do believe in the Second Amendment, and I certainly believe that people have a right to protect themselves and to go hunting and all that. But I'm absolutely convinced, even though a Democratic senator brought up the legislation, tried to get it passed, and I'm registered Republican, I am absolutely convinced he was right in that the Second Amendment is being abused by the gun manufacturers that sell the high-capacity clips and the nuts who buy them to do mass killings. I can't imagine what a hunter or somebody who just needs to protect his home would need with a 30, 40, 50, and God knows how many more bullet clips. Like, is a hunter going to go out and shoot 30 possum or 50 deer or something?
Are you familiar with what happened during the L.A. riots surrounding Rodney King?
Yeah, I do know that people were defending themselves and their stores, and maybe some of them at that time did have the high-capacity clips, but I'm convinced the gun manufacturers are shooting themselves in the foot with these high-capacity clips that, to me, are more like for the military or just mass killing. And people are buying these clips that are real nutcases, and they're doing mass killings like what happened at Florida.
Well,
if they stop the mass or the high-capacity clips and the guns that will accept them, that these clips can slide into, I think the gist of the problem is that's it. I think that
will keep people from becoming homicidal.
Well, no, not totally. No, because still have people with, let's say, a double-barrel shotgun or a single-barrel shotgun or somebody with just a six-shot pistol.
How about a truck?
Yeah, or a truck.
Or how about a bomb?
Or bombs. It's not going to stop the killings, but it definitely would alleviate the problem on the people who believe in
this article we were reading, they said it took about, and I don't know, like I'm not some kind of person who does, you know, fast clip changes or anything like that, but the people that do that do these shootings generally practice ahead of time with clip changes, and you're saying clip, I should say magazines, magazine changeovers, and that it takes about 3 seconds. And that 3 seconds isn't enough for anything to matter.
Yeah, I can tell you, and I'm one of those guys. I'm one of those crazy people that goes out and buys 30-round magazines because that's what comes with a rifle, and they're cheap. If 10-round magazines were dramatically less expensive, actually, I probably have a couple of them laying around.
I don't want to do the work, would be my thought.
Right.
It's just easier.
Most of my shooting is done at the target. That's what I shoot.
I shoot a lot of paper.
I put a lot of holes in trees, too, on my land. But that's the thing. Why would I want to change magazines? Now, so I have this one side that says nobody needs a 30-round magazine because, and there's millions of AR-15s out there with 30-round magazines. Well, by your own logic, you're saying that there are a bunch of people out there that are homicidal and they have AR-15s and they may come for any one of us, yet I shouldn't have that exact same gun so I can defend myself against these maniacs with AR-15s and 30-round magazines.
So you're saying if they outlaw magazines, only outlaws will have the high-capacity magazines?
That's pretty much it. And I don't want to belittle this at all, but I will tell you it's not difficult. I can teach you in 10 minutes how to do real fast changes, so you're going to be maybe 5 seconds behind using 10-round magazines versus 30. And that's
what about 10... this concern, Roland? I can buy a 3D printer and make a 100-round magazine in my spare bedroom, and you can't do anything about it. Like, outlawing it isn't going to make a difference when you can download a program off the internet, right?
Make it out of plastic.
Well, could I say something?
Yeah,
I think
I'm asking.
If the gun manufacturers realized, and I think they are realizing it, that they don't, you know, stop being so concerned with the profits by selling the high-capacity clips. I think that, no, it wouldn't stop all the mass killings, but I think it would stop a number of them because these clips are available for these mass murderers. And I think that's much of the gist of the problem. It would be eliminated, not in all cases. Yes, you can change clips fast. I've owned guns, yes, but I never had an interest in a gun that fired more than 5 or 6 bullets or held one in the chamber and would have a 5-shot clip.
I
can't imagine why people would need those high-capacity clips except unless they love to do shooting. Like the one man there, the other man, I can't remember his name, was talking about. Yeah.
I want to offer you one parting thought, and that's this, that 80% of the time when police pull their gun and use it, they miss. 80% of the time of people that are highly trained.
Or at least trained.
Yeah. So that's why I feel, as a civilian, I do want to have that with me. I routinely carry 16 rounds on my person at all times, so that's what I do, but I do appreciate the call.
Yeah, yes, sir. Could I just bring up another matter? Another thing I learned, I spoke to a guy that was an MP at an Air Force base. All he was allowed was 20 bullets in his clip. But yet these guys that are doing these mass killings can get clips with a lot more bullets. And I've noticed some of the gun stores or the places, they don't have them. They're not selling them. And I think that it's catching up with the gun industry.
Maybe.
You know, I mean,
Roland, I have to take out of the call. Thank you so much.
I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Really do. Thank you.
Let's go to Sarah calling in from New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, did you know that we had 26 homicides this year? And this is only April, I think, in New Mexico.
New Mexico's had 26 homicides. How interesting.
I did not know that.
Well, I think it's the highest rate in 14 years.
I don't know.
All right.
And then,
it's
one of the highest rate in 20 years or something.
Okay.
This is so 26 murders.
What's causing it?
Well, you know what? They got rid of the death penalty 15 years ago.
Uh huh. So this is related.
There's no punishment. They're not going to be put to death, and the word is out. So they killed a homeless man, 2 teenagers for fun. So why did you do it?
You know, there's
because they wanted to spend the rest of their lives in prison.
Right.
I think you're giving people with very short-sighted goals a lot of credit when you say that they that for whatever reason that they're 2 teenagers want to spend the rest of their lives in prison is what you're suggesting with this information. It doesn't seem like that would be what their goal was.
And it doesn't jive statistically. I mean, when we look at states that have death penalty versus don't, we don't see those statistical differences that one would think if the death penalty were actually effective at stopping crime.
Right. The European countries don't, many of them don't have the death penalty, and they have lower, in some cases, have lower crimes than the United States. So I'm not sure what the indication would be.
Or higher in the case of London.
Well, statistically, as far as I don't know about the European culture, but as far as the U.S. culture here, the moment you get rid of death penalty, our murder rates, homicides, go up.
That's
and
inaccurate.
13 of them are unsolved.
Not accurate.
Well, I mean, how accurate is this? Like,
New Mexico got rid of its death penalty 15 years later. You're calling about murder rates now. I mean, how can you correlate that information?
Right.
Well, it has been going up steadily, but okay. It's just gotten really, really worse after 15 years.
Everything I've ever seen in looking into this issue says that there's very little correlation between homicide rates and the death penalty.
But what I would say, particularly for New Mexico, is look at the homicides through the war on drugs. You guys have seen increases in gang violence, increases in smuggling, and cartel violence and things like that.
That sounds right.
Yeah, we're just trying to save lives by keeping people from using drugs, and what do we get? Higher crime rates.
Thanks for the call, Sarah. Yeah, well, that's a wrap there. Chris, thanks so much for coming in.
It's always a pleasure.
You're sitting in for me, and I'm sitting in for Ian.
Is that how this works?
Well, you're in my chair.
I'm glad you're in that chair, because I don't like the idea of being in that chair.
Pushing buttons and all the things that come with it. Thanks so much for listening to Free Talk Live. We'll be back in 21 short hours. You can check us out in the meantime at Free Talk Live.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project, and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
Your amp will directly change more lives by getting Free Talk Live in front of people looking for talk radio online and on the air. You can help by joining the AMP program for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com and getting perks. That's amp.freetalklive.com.